So how is everybody this morning? How's your battle going on? Huh? You're in a war. How you feeling? Pretty good? How about some thumbs up? Two thumbs up? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm doing what the Lord called me to do. Just stand up here and give His word. Amen. What has He called you to do? Let us read Ephesians chapter 6. And for this week, it's the 17th verse we read. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're to take those items. As Pastor Rich has been preaching, if we go back to verse 13 and read, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're to take all those items. It's not a suggestion. It's not something you can just, well, yeah, maybe I will this week. Maybe I won't next week. There's an enemy out there. And he wants to kill and destroy you. And so that's why God has given you these pieces of armor. And we're at the last two now. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation is the last piece of armor. And I find it interesting that it was kind of coupled with the sword of the Spirit, because these two kind of fit together if you look at it. Okay? The word salvation implies a state of bliss. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever told anybody, hey, I'm living in salvation? I'm living in salvation. Do you know what that means? Most people go, well, you're saved. Okay, you're saved from the wrath of God. You're saved, you know. You crazy Christ believers running around. What would Jesus do? You have salvation. But what does salvation mean? The word salvation implies a state of bliss where the mercies and enjoyments of all the promises meet. Everything that you get when you're saved, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, that all comes into play. The Holy Spirit comes in, you're given a new spirit, you're born again. All the mercies and all the joys and all the promises that God has for you as a Christian are now put into play. They all meet in salvation. And that's why it's called the helmet of salvation. Because why? Why do you need a helmet? There it is, the helmet of salvation. Well, if you were off in a battle at the time when this was written, okay, there was mostly hand-to-hand combat. Okay, you'd put on your armor, you'd get your sword, your spear. It doesn't say anything about a spear in the scriptures, but it does have the sword. And you'd put on your helmet and you'd go out into battle. And the helmet was a very important piece. The helmet defends your soul. I want you to think about this. The war you're in is not so much a bloody hand-to-hand physical combat that you're doing out in the street. I mean, some of it is, depending on where you are in this world, not only this country, but other places. I called peaceful demonstrations, I don't know. But our battle is against the spiritual forces that are at play in this world. Okay, so what are they going to go after? They're going to go after your mind. It wants to attack your mind. It wants to get you to doubt. You ever had those moments when you doubted the promises of God? You're like, you know, I'm not feeling it right now. You ever get that point? Believe me, those are dark nights. It happens. We're human beings. We're not God. We're not perfect. We're fallen. We hurt. We have pain. I think the worst pain is the spiritual and emotional pain that sometimes when people do you wrong, that really hurts, doesn't it? That leaves a scar sometimes that people can't see, but you know is there. That helmet is to protect you because Satan is going to come after you. His demons are going to come after you, and they want to get you to doubt the promises of God, the doubt that he's there. You know, people will say, where is he? It's been 2,000 years. You know, he ascended into heaven if he even existed at all. Where is he? I know where he is, right here, in my heart and in your hearts. Satan wants to put doubts in your mind. If he can get you to doubt, if he can get you to think, well, you know, I'm not going to make it. Or if he can get you to doubt that the Holy Spirit is going to be there for me, get you to doubt that, he'll weaken you. And once he weakens you, then maybe he can pry a little piece of that armor off, right? Maybe pry that armor open just enough that he could shoot one of those flaming arrows. Whoa! Right into your heart and make you despair. The helmet of salvation is to protect your soul and your mind. The helmet protects the believer from dangerous or deadly impressions of sin. It defends the Christian because it is hard for temptation to snare a person who is satisfied with princely favor and stands on the stairs of hope. Think about that. You're standing on the stairs of hope, expecting to be called at any time to the highest place the king can bestow. Everybody's seen an escalator, right? You've been to a big department store or something where they have the escalator. You stand on it, it takes you right up to where you're going or down to where you want to go. There is a cosmic escalator. You know that. Okay? Right now, we're standing on that level playing field there, and there's an escalator here that goes down. Where do you think it goes? Yeah. And then there's the escalator here that goes up. You as a Christian, this one's chained off. It's broke, doesn't work. You're not going down. But in your life, when you are anticipating at any moment that the Lord could call you to the highest place that he wants to place you on that escalator up into glory. Everything around here doesn't mean that much. I want you to think about it. The travesties and all the stuff that goes on in this world, all right, doesn't mean that much. Oh yeah, it's good to have a good meal. But I want you to anticipate the meal you're going to have in heaven. It's going to be far beyond anything you ever tasted. I don't know about you, but I like steak. I like a good filet mignon. You know what I mean? About a little bit above medium rare. Okay, really juicy. Oh, with the mushrooms and the onions. Oh, yeah. Just draped all over it. Yep. It comes out on that skillet. Like at, what's the place over Mount Gretna? The Hideaway, thank you, that restaurant. They make good steaks over there. And I'm not plugging them. I'm not doing a thing that. But if you want a good steak, they bring it out on one of those hot skillets. It's crackling. Oh, and you put your knife into it. That's probably the best you're going to get. Now, can you imagine what's going to be in heaven? That's just dirty food down here, really. And we think it's great. God has a banquet for us that is beyond anything that you can even imagine. I'm starting to salivate now thinking about it. Right? Can you imagine the bread in heaven? Oh, and the wine? And the water? And the fruit? It's going to be great. So that helmet that we put on is the expectation of what God is going to give us. The helmet of salvation. You got to protect the mind. You can have all those armored pieces on you. Covered in armor, right? No mind. You're just sitting in a pile of junk, right? Metal, leather. You're not moving. You're not doing anything. Without the mind, how can you even lift the sword? You got to have your mind, and your mind's got to be in the right place, and the right place is in Scripture. The right place is meditating on the Lord Jesus Christ. The right place is allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you in those moments, okay? And let me tell you something. Once you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and you start listening, it gets easier. It does. Believe me, I know it gets easier. When the Holy Spirit whispers in your heart and says, go talk to that person. And you go and do it, and you have that meeting. How about it, Mitch? You have that meeting with someone, and you talk to them about the things of the Lord. Each time you do that, the Holy Spirit, his voice sounds clearer and clearer, and it's in that helmet. It's in that helmet that we're in this war. Our next scripture is found in Isaiah chapter 49. Chapter 49 of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Verse 23. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, we read. Kings will be your guardians, and their princes your nurse. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet, and you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. There is a promise in that. But you got to put your faith in the Lord. All of your faith. Not willy-nilly, not half-baked, not word salad. There's going to come a point in your life when you're going to have to put everything on the line. Put everything in his hands. That's where the rubber meets the road. Things may be going well now. But we're in a war. And the war is real. The war is not just out there, it's also waging in you. Because the devil knows who you belong to, and he wants to trip you up just as quickly as he can because you are a danger to him. Because you stand firm, putting on the full armor of God, you stand firm and you say, no. To the lies, no. To the deceit, no. Lovingly. Lovingly, we say no. That's wrong. When someone tells you that God doesn't exist, you tell them no. That's wrong. You're wrong. And when they say, prove that God exists, say, here I am. He created me. Who created you? Do not let the lies overtake you. The helmet makes the heart bold. You ever been a bold Christian? Are you a bold Christian? Can I get some bold Christian arms up? How about bold Christian? I see one sitting back there. I see a bold Christian sitting back there. He's got his lights on, his glasses on. Put that arm up. Bold Christian! Let's be bold. Be bold for the gospel. Be bold for Jesus Christ. Be bold. Not overbearing. But when it comes to it, open your mouth. Speak the truth that you know, that you have learned, that's been placed in your heart from the Scriptures. Speak the truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know it. Okay. But you were bold and spoke it. Maybe you planted a seed. We're to plant seeds. God will do the watering. You don't know what will happen. When we put our confidence in God, he supplies courage, for we take him at his word and believe. That's what I think, my friends. We need to get in that word, take his word and believe it, eternalize it. I used to tell people that when you read the Bible, you should be chewing on it, eating it, working it through, asking the Holy Spirit, show me what this means. We take him at his word and believe. No matter what's going on around us, it doesn't really matter. We believe. Because when it all comes down to it, and this is all taken away and it's all burned up, we will be with him in heaven. We will be in glory. And there will be eternity to learn of him, to be with him. Can you imagine speaking to Moses? When you get there and you get to talk to Moses. Now, he had a nice beard. I'm hoping to have a nice beard in heaven. Okay? Had a so-so beard. The doctor said I had to shave it off. They said they got to put me in this head thing and they're going to beam radiation into my neck and they don't want my head moving. So this mesh thing that they've created goes over my head and gets locked down on the table and you can't move. I can move my tongue, that's about it. And they're going to shoot me with radiation. Wasn't TMI enough for me to go through the accident? Now I'm going to go through this. Okay, Lord, whatever it takes. All right? Whatever it takes. I can do it. My poor wife can't. She can't. You put a blanket over her head, she's freaking out. So that's not going to work for her. She's claustrophobic. I'm not so claustrophobic. I went through the MRIs. You know what I mean? They asked, what kind of music do you want? I said, well, how about progressive rock? Well, yeah, at least it takes your mind off that machine right here. And the banging and the noises. Yeah. The helmet is God's gift to the warrior. You didn't make this helmet. In fact, you didn't make any of the pieces of this armor. You didn't make any of it. It's all a gift to you. They're all gifts from God. They are divine implements of war. And the helmet is the gift. And he wants you to have that helmet. He wants your mind protected. He wants your mind thinking of him, your soul and everything. Because, you know, once this body's gone in the brain that actually is firing all the neurons or whatever, and it's happening in my head right now. Once that's all gone, what's left? But my spirit, and my spirit is part of this. But it's eternal, and it has a mind too. And God wants to protect that. And you need to protect it. You need to be in this word. Reading it. And going, yeah, I'm going to stand on that promise. I like that. And lick the dust of your feet. Well, there we go. That means you're going to be elevated to a very high position. So all the things of this earth, they're starting to pale. I mean, it's nice to have a truck that runs real well, and it's nice to be in a heated house and be able to wear, you know, clean clothes. But this is all going to pass, and what is left? When we put that helmet on, our perception aligns with the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that. When you put that helmet on, okay, it's got the goggles on it, okay, those are holy goggles. You start seeing things as how God sees things. How does God see things? Oh, I don't know. I'm not God. But you have his word. You have his word. The helmet gets its power from the word of God, and that's why it is the last piece of armor before the sword. How can you wield the sword without divine knowledge? You cannot. You have a sword, and it is the greatest sword in all eternity and the universe because it is the word of God. How was all this created? God spoke. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke everything into existence. Everything. All the laws of physics. Everything that makes this whole universe work. A giant clockwork, so to speak. He spoke it into existence. And you have the sword of his word. You need knowledge on how to defend yourself with that sword. And how to attack with that sword. You can hurt people. That's one of the things that you learn when you become a minister. I don't have a counseling credential, so I'm not going to counsel anybody. Anybody here that wants me to sit down and talk with them, we're going to have a nice little discussion. We're going to go to the Word of God. And we're going to deal with whatever's going on in your life. How many supposedly Christian pastors have hurt people over the years with their counseling efforts? How about some of these people out there who thinks they're Christian pastors, and I got to look at them and say, what book are you reading? You're just picking out pieces that you want? That's what I see. And they hurt people. They point them down the wrong path. Oh, yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah, you get to do whatever you want. Yes, God loves you just as you are. Keep going. Yes. Oh, how wonderful. Talk about a lie out of hell. Yes, God accepts you where you are when you come to Christ, but he doesn't leave you there. You got to be changed. Jesus said you must be born again. There has to be repentance. There has to be a look in your life of the sin that's going on and repent of it. Not just, oh yeah, go down the road. It's all rainbows and unicorns. We're having a great time here. Jesus loves you. Yes, he loves you. He died for you. And he's not going to leave you in your state. He wants to clean you up. And that's what's going to happen if you're following Christ. If the Holy Spirit is in there, he's going to clean you up. He cleaned me up. I could tell you some real bad stories, but I'm not gonna. That's history. It's gone. God doesn't remember it anymore. I remember it because I learned from it. Not to be so stupid. Here we have the sixth and last piece of the Christian's armor brought to our hand, the sword of the Spirit. Throughout the ages, the sword has been the most necessary part of the soldier's equipment and has been used more than any other weapon. What would it look like if a pilot got in his plane and didn't have his charts? What would it look like if an electrician showed up to work with no tools? What would it look like if a baker showed up and didn't have any flour? They would be useless, right? Pilot doesn't know where he's going. Electrician can't do anything without his tools. And the baker, what's he going to do? No flour? Where's the cake? Sticky buns. Bread. Let's see, what else? Ooh, scones. Scones. With blueberries. Scones. Yes. What do you look like if you don't have your sword? You got all that armor on, okay? You got the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes. You're ready to go, no sword. What's going to happen? The devil comes at you with bows and arrows and a demon with a sword. Boop. He's going to cut you up. You got to have your sword. Our next scripture is in Jeremiah. We're in the Old Testament a little bit today. Jeremiah chapter 25, if you would turn there. Wow. Verse 29. As we read in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 29. For behold, I am beginning to work calamity in this city, which is called by my name, and shall you be completely free from punishment? You will not be free from punishment, for I am summoning a sword against all the inhabitants of the earth, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm not reading that to you to say that there's calamity coming, but usually in the Bible, when it says a sword, God is talking about war. A sword is usually, when it's in the scriptures, he's talking about a sword or a battle, a war, and that's what we're in. We're in that war, and I keep telling you that over and over again, but We are in a war, and it's a war we're going to win. We already know the end. Jesus won at the cross. Satan was defeated. These skirmishes that are going on is to put us down, to make our lives horrible. But we have the great weapon. This weapon is both defensive and offensive. The rest of the apostles' armor are for defense. Arms, belt, breastplate, shield, helmet. But the sword both defends the Christian and wounds his enemy. That sword is an integral part of all this. And I think that's why the Lord put it lastly in the list of what's going on, because you want to get dressed every day for this war. You want to, you know, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation. You need the shield, and then you have the sword. It says, no matter how glorious to the Christian the other pieces of armor, he would easily be disarmed without the sword in his hand, and surely the believer would be stripped of all his graces if he did not have the sword to defend them and himself against Satan's fury. Satan wants to get your pieces of armor off. He wants to get them opened in such a way, he wants you to put that sword down and get complacent. That's what he wants. How complacent are you? See, these are the questions you have to answer. I have to answer them. Take up the sword of his spirit, the sword of his word. Our next scripture reading is in Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119. There it is. And it's verse 92. Psalm 119. Short verse, Psalm 119, verse 92, we read, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. What the author of that is saying is, he meditated on the word of God day and night. He put it into himself. And in his affliction, when the bad times came, when the cancer came, when the car accident came, when the person closest to you passed, when you lost your job, pick any calamity. They're all out there. They're happening all the time. We see it everywhere. Where do you rest? Where do you find comfort when it hurts so much that you don't know what to do? His word. You got to go back to his word. You got to stand on those promises, all of them. It's the only way to live. And the sword is also is offensive. As the word defends a soldier, it offends his enemy. Thus, God's word is a killing sword as well as a keeping sword. Only does it keep the believer, it keeps the believer from succumbing to external temptation. That word that should come up into your mind the moment when a temptation is presented in front of you, whatever it may be, alcohol, drugs, promiscuous, stealing. How about the more simple ones? Railing against God because you don't like the situation you're in? How about talking to one of your loved ones in a bad way because they made you mad for whatever reason? Whatever reason. That word defends you. It also defends against the world's pollution. This world is a polluted place, and I'm not talking chemicals. I'm talking spiritual things. It's a polluted place. All you got to do is turn on the TV. I mean, can you imagine some of this stuff? I mean, I'm 67, so let's go back 30 or 40 years, what was on TV then compared to what's on here now? I think my good friend Bob Bolts, he went down with the kids, he said that a TV is nothing but a pollution device puking out stuff into your living room. And, you know, we watch it all the time. The sword defends that. I'm going to finish up. I have three scriptures yet to give you. We're going to be in Ephesians again. Let's go back to Ephesians, and we'll try and land this plane before I get too far off. Ephesians chapter 2. I'd rather give you God's words than my words. If I'm up here just speaking of myself, I'm going to lead you right to hell. But if I'm giving you God's word, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're to do each other, to do to your families. Give the word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we read, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone to the entire building that you are. He is the key that unlocks everything that you need. He is everything that you want, whether you know it or not. And Christ loved you so much. Can you imagine how much he loved you? To go to the cross, being a sinless Son of God. He gave everything for you. You should give everything to him. And when you do, he'll give it back 100-time-fold. He'll give you the sword. He'll give you all the armor you need to stand up and fight. Now, I'm not saying go out there and start a riot here in the middle of Jonestown or something, whatever. But in those moments, when you're confronted with deception and untruth, and you know it is, in your family, in your friends, maybe your coworkers, speak up. Just say something. That's not true. God's word says this. It's that simple. Now the person may go off and start, losing their mind. I don't know. But you can just step back and be calm. Let them have fun. They're expending energy. And then when they're all done, you can step up and say, how do you feel? Feel any better? No. Have your sword ready. Be ready to give truth. Because you don't know when you could be standing up against a demon. You just don't know it. I don't know it. But when it happens, the Holy Spirit will be there to defend you. Stand on that word. Have the sword ready to go. 2 Timothy, verse 3. There we go. 2 Timothy, verse 3, we read, and this is one that's marked off in my Bible because as a minister, I need to understand this, but it goes for every one of you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16 and 17, we read, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It also goes for you ladies, too. It also goes for you ladies. Everything we need is right here. For correction, for reproof, for training, it's all there. And I think about the history of the Christian world and how there was a time in the Dark Ages where you weren't allowed to have a Bible. You couldn't have scriptures. You weren't allowed to read it. You couldn't have it. There were people that never saw a Bible their entire lives. And yet, look at the time we live in. There's multiple Bibles. You can get study Bibles. Everything you need. Why neglect his word? Sharpen that sword in you. In our war against spiritual evil, we must have the guidance of the Holy Spirit in order to know when and how to use that sword. This is the most powerful weapon in the universe. I don't care if world leaders have a nuclear bomb, small potatoes. And you go, Dave, what are you talking about? Small potatoes. Small potatoes. The God I serve created all this. Small potatoes. I can stand up against anything the devil wants to throw at me because of who it dwells in me, the Holy Spirit. On my own, I would be defeated like that. Like that. But because I have the Holy Spirit in me, and he dwells in me, I can't be defeated. Can I make a mistake? Oh yeah, I can do something really stupid. You can ask my wife. I've done that on more than one occasion and probably will again. Part of being human. But up against Satan, I don't even talk to him anymore. I don't talk to him. I just look up, Lord Jesus, can you talk to him, please? I have nothing to say to him. I let Jesus talk to him. And it's done. Our final scripture is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And we're going to land this thing. I can get long-winded, you know it. Hebrews chapter 4. I guess I should be long-winded. It might be quite a while till I can be up here again. You have to listen to Pastor Rich, okay? We'll just let him take care of it. I'll sit in the front here and I'll egg him on. Longer, Pastor, longer. Let's see if we can get to 55-minute sermons. Oh, yeah. Hey, there used to be churches way back when this country first started. There would be two-hour sermons, if not longer. Can you imagine that, a two-hour sermon? I bet you those pastors, I mean, talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 hours of preaching. Gets me all excited. 2 hours of preaching, telling you what God has done for us. I feel better already. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read. This is the final scripture for this morning. I'm even out of time for the internet. I guess we're still on. We're still making it. All right, we got a two thumbs up there. Chapter 4, verse 12, we read. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The thoughts and intentions of the heart. It judges the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Where are you today? Are you a warrior? Let me hear your war yell. Let's hear a yell. War yell. Ah! Mine's a little sore. Come on. There we go. Ah! We're on fire for the Lord. We're warriors. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. Satan is defeated. That's what this is all about. He is defeated. And we're going to keep going, no matter how hard it gets. The Lord Jesus put us in this town, in this facility, for this purpose. That's what you are here for. There's a battle, and we're going to go out there. We're going to defeat Satan every single time. We're going to give the news and tell the people that there is a better way to live. A better way, a more loving way, that you can be saved from the wrath of God that's coming. It is coming. We are to snatch people out of the very flames of hell by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is your job, warrior, Christian warrior. You know, one of my favorite movies is the, I had Mel Gibson in it, the one with the Scottish, Braveheart. I mean, it was a pretty graphic movie, battles and stuff. But what was he fighting for? He was fighting for freedom of his country. What are we fighting for? We're fighting for the freedom of souls out of the hands of Satan to be brought into the kingdom of God. That's why Mitch goes out on his prayer walks. That's why we do prayer walks. That's why we give testaments out. That's why we give tracts out. We want people to come to heaven. I want you to be there with me. It's going to be great. I mean, you talk to people that don't believe in God. Oh, there's going to be a heck of a party. It's a kegger in hell. No, there's not. There's not going to be no kegger down there. It's going to be misery. The kegger's up in heaven. The kegger's up in heaven. And it's kegs of wine. It will be a party. It's going to be joyful with all the saints, and you are a saint. And we're all going to be there together. And this will all fade away. This earthly time is going to fade away, and we'll be in the glory. But I want you to think of every person that you don't speak to could be lost. All right? Christian warrior, that's your job. Stand up for righteousness, stand up for truth. Would you pray with me now? Father in heaven, I ask that you fill these people here with your Holy Spirit completely. Give them courage to stand up in those moments when it's most needed. For they are the representation of Christ on this earth. They are Christians. Thank you that they're all here. Thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, that indwells us. And in Jesus' precious name, God's people said, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.